This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service will be given at the close of the service. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to tune in to this radio station every Sunday for worship with us.
What is the greatest experience a worshiper can have in a church service? We're going to talk about that today in the sermon. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you on this Pentecost Sunday that when our Lord ascended into heaven, you sent the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you will continue to do your work in the hearts of men and women through your word and sacrament. Lord, we thank you that that Spirit has been at work, and many have come to trust Jesus as Savior and Lord. And so we pray on this holy time of the year that we may hear that word, hear it differently because it has been brought into the inner depths of our soul. That's our prayer for this radio ministry and for the Word of God where it is proclaimed throughout the world today. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All hail the power of Jesus' name, let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, he ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all.
Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball, to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Oh, that with yonder sacred throng we at his feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all. We'll join the everlasting song and crown him Lord of all.
Let me read for you passages from the second chapter of the book of Acts. In verse 1 we read, "When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." Later on in this same chapter, the people asked, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "These people have had too much wine." And then Peter stood up and preached to them, and he told them that these people were not drunk, but they were telling the story of Jesus, of how he had been crucified, but God had raised him from the grave. He wanted them to know that this Jesus was the Son of God and the Messiah of the world. And as he continued to preach, the people asked the question, "What shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That's the Pentecost text. We're going to talk about that in the sermon. Friends in Christ, a Jewish family living in Jerusalem in the first century asked their friends at the synagogue if they would watch their house for some days because they were going to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost in Jerusalem. It would be a long, hard trip, but it was important for them to go, a spiritual experience of the lifetime. You see, Pentecost was one of Judaism's three primary festivals. There was the Passover, and there was Pentecost. That was two. And Pentecost was extremely important because it was the time of thanksgiving for the harvest of crops. And it was necessary to return thanks to God for all that he had given to them. It was a festival where they commemorated the giving of the law to Moses from God on Mount Sinai, and that was ever precious to these people. But this trip, this particular trip, was one that these people would never forget. They came home different people. And this is what happened. You know that perhaps if you are a lover of the word and have read this often, but let me review it with you, and for those of you who are unacquainted with this portion of Scripture, mark Acts 2 down as one of the great chapters of the New Testament that you must become acquainted with to have the full understanding of how a person becomes a believer in Jesus Christ. Well, on that day, the first Pentecost, they had all gathered in one place. And then there was a tremendous sound. It was like the blowing of a mighty wind that came from heaven. Tongues of fire came down to rest on them. And the disciples began to speak in foreign languages as the Spirit enabled them. All of this happening, these good God-fearing Jews asked, and they were from all parts of the world, "What in the world is happening? We hear somebody speaking in our own language." And our friend who had come from Egypt could hear in perfect Egyptian the message that God wanted them to have. What does it mean? Well, there are always some people, you know, who are trying to find answers even though they don't know them. And among other answers that they gave was that, well, these people have had too much wine. They're just drunk. Peter stood up, and after he had corrected them and said, "They are not intoxicated," he began to preach to them. And he said, you know, if you will go back to your Bible, the Bible that they knew, the Old Testament, you would find in the prophet Joel that this event had been prophesied. And what does it really mean? It means this, that God has broken into history and given us his Son, Jesus Christ. When that Christ came and announced that he was the Son of God and a promised Messiah, that was more than you could take. And so ultimately, it took you a while, about 3 years, but then you took him outside on Golgotha's hill and crucified him. You put him in a tomb, but God raised him from the dead. On the third day he came forth, and that was Easter. And that's what's happened. Then 40 days after Easter, he ascended into heaven. As Peter preached on, the people became very, very convicted of their sin and what was wrong. And so they asked the question, "What shall we do?" And Peter uttered these words, "Repent and believe every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit that you see operating here today is a spirit that is working through my word, Peter said, and he can bring you to faith in Jesus Christ, and you can return from this great festival different people. And those around about you will see that you have been in the presence of Jesus Christ. Well, we are told that it was a very, very fruitful day. 3,000 people came to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. This was the birthday of the church, and this was a day when men and women understood Pentecost as being the time when God the Holy Spirit spoke in a miraculous way and people came to faith in Christ. Yes, these people returned to their homes different. And when the people at the synagogue met them and said, "Well, how were those great hours that you spent in Jerusalem?" They told them the story. That's how the word of God spread in all parts of the world. For some of those people, without a doubt, in that synagogue, when they heard the story of the gospel, also received Jesus Christ. They had met Christ. They had received him. It was the Spirit's work. And anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come. Now, that was the festival of Pentecost. But you know, friend, the exciting thing about this is that there have been many, many thousands of Pentecost, if we can call them that, throughout history. The Holy Spirit does his work, and people are changed. I'd like to cite some of these today so that this can become just a little bit more personal for us. So imagine the things that are really happening. They're happening, for example, right in our midst today. You know, recently I attended the National Conference on Preaching. And while I was there, I heard an astounding statistic. Now, I never know how they can come to these numbers. And I can't swear to the truth of this, but I heard it more than once, that there are more college students who are worshiping God today on a Sunday morning, going to church, than there are parents of college students. Many parents of college students can say, well, that's not important for me. I don't need to go and hear that word. I don't need to worship corporately in the church. But these students are finding it important to get to the house of God, to hear the word expounded, and to be in the fellowship of other Christians. Let's just imagine that here are two young people, a brother and a sister, and they're going off to college. Their parents have some great concern, because no longer will they be under the guiding hand of father and mother. And they have watched these two children, and they have wondered what their relationship was with the church. Now notice how I say it, with the church. And would they come home and be faithful members of the church, or would somebody grab them? Not necessarily some professor who may love to stir up their faith a little bit and disturb it, if that would be the case, but other college students. The lifestyle would be different. Big questions would be raised. How long are you going to keep on in your mother and father's religion? It isn't fashionable. It isn't cool, as they say, to be a believer in Christ and the church today. Father and mother were worried that that thing could possibly happen. Maybe I speak to some of you who have gone through those hours of worry, or probably are in it now, or imagining that it will happen in the fall when your children leave for college too. Well, suddenly something happens. Maybe when they get to the campus and they see that it's a Sunday morning and they have freedom and nobody's going to check on them, and some of the other kids in the dormitory are going to sleep in, and so they think, wow, this is kind of neat, going to try it too. And so after a while, they are not going to church. Or they might get there once or twice so that they can tell Dad and Mom when they get home for Christmas that they are still faithful, but it doesn't mean too much to them. Until finally one night, a person says, you know, I go to a group on the campus called Basics, Brothers and Sisters in Christ. They're a lovely group of people, and would you come along with me? I'd love to have you as my guest. And so you go to Basics. And this is not some dream world. I've spoken at one of those meetings, and I am just astounded at how the Spirit is working. There were 1,000 young people there on this campus. I one time talked to the president of this university about BASIC, and he said to me, the president of that university said to me, we are very, very happy that there are such meetings as this going on our campus. Well, your son or daughter, or probably both of them, thought that this was really something. It was far more than just going to church. It was meeting this person by the name of Jesus Christ. They had learned a great deal about him in church, but now he was there present with them. They began to come under a strong conviction of their sin. And finally, after attending these meetings for the best part of a semester, one night they asked Jesus Christ to be a part of their lives. By the grace of God, they turned their lives over to him. and they were different. There was a peace. There was a happiness. But they were still very, very immature. Certain people from the group made it their ministry to meet with them in small groups. And so this went on, and finally when they got home, and Mom and Dad saw that they had come home different people, they had to tell them what had happened. This was a spiritual awakening. They went away feeling that, well, the church was okay, but they had not yet met Jesus Christ. Now, many young people who go to the universities are great believers in Christ Jesus, but these are probably the average people who had gone through some good training in their home and in their congregation, that which the Holy Spirit could use to bring them to faith in Christ. And then came the change. That's what's important. And they come to faith in Christ. Do you know, friend, if any of us, doesn't matter who it is, calls Jesus Christ, Jesus Savior, we have had an experience similar to what was going on that first Pentecost. Because no one can call Jesus Christ and Savior except through the power of the Holy Spirit. We do not build this faith within ourselves. Or we do not say, now I suddenly am going to believe. I love what Dr. Martin Luther wrote in his catechism, in which we teach the young people in our church. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Spirit calls me through the gospel. And that's why it's important that you and I hear the gospel being preached Sunday after Sunday. That's why it's important that we read it in our privacy. That's why it's important that we have small groups and Bible studies. For every time that word is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit is at work. Yes, the Holy Spirit who came on that first Pentecost Sunday. He's been with us ever since. He's always been here. He's the third person of the Trinity. He's the one who works in you. There would be no real Christmas, no real Easter, without a real Pentecost and the Spirit of God working through these marvelous messages of Christ's birth, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and his promise that he's coming again. Same thing is happening, we pray, at worship services on Sunday morning. I know that across this land, there are many thousands of pastors who are praying. God, I have prepared my sermon. It is ready. I am anxious to tell the story of Jesus Christ. But God, I know that nothing is going to happen unless your Holy Spirit comes and takes these feeble words of mine and tells the people's heart how much you love them, who tell the people of your righteousness, who tell the people above all that they need that Savior. And when that Savior speaks, then, oh God, we know that there will be spiritual awakening. Yes, we pray that we may go home from church, different people than we have come, because we know that we have been in the presence of God, God the Holy Spirit. And that is what Pentecost is all about. Amen.
All day long, praise him, praise. praise him, Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified.
Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows, love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong.
Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, enter in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, crowned with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Come, Holy Spirit, into our darkened hearts. Convert those who are not believers in Christ, and sanctify those of us who have trusted in you as Savior and Lord. We know that nothing can happen unless the Holy Spirit does his work. So open our ears to hear. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message has brought your heart spiritual comfort with the grace of God that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord. As a nonprofit ministry, Christian Crusaders is dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening audience. Many people choose to remember a loved one with a memorial gift. Memorial gifts are sometimes given to remember a very special person on their birthday or another meaningful occasion. If you would like to make a donation in loving memory of someone, send it to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. We thank all those who support this ministry with their prayers and gifts. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.